Cold last night, wasn't it? That blast of wind coming through. Has it been continued to be battened down where you live? Your house okay and trees and things? That's good. It's been a blowy one this year. It's good to have the sun out, though. Praise God. This morning, I was sort of like going back and forth to several different things, and I just alighted on what I'm going to share with you this morning. And, you know, it's a beautiful little story, and I looked at it this way. You know, it's found in, I'll give you the scripture here. It's in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And, you know, we're going to have that up on the screen. You know, it's only a few verses, but it's like a photograph of the past. A glimpse. You know what a photo is? If you have loved ones and you see their photo, it's a moment of time that was a split moment that was taken of what they were doing, what they were wearing, their breathing, where their blood, everything that was going on in their makeup and everything around them and living on this little blue globe at that moment. And that photo was taken. And we have a glimpse here of just a moment when Jesus was spending time with his disciples. And I want us to take a look at it, and I want us to read the verses here. I'm going to be speaking and reading from the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there and its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Israel, 'Look, your king is coming to you. Humble he is, riding on a donkey's colt.'" And the two disciples did as Jesus commanded. It's just a glimpse. It's a photograph of past time. What Jesus, one of the things, the countless things that Jesus did. We have to look at this, and I want us to look at it, but not look at it as something just historical that happened. What a wonderful picture. But I want you to look at it this morning, and I need to look at it as for myself as this is a glimpse of the life of Jesus in our lives. Friends, you are so important to Christ. And you may not feel it. You may not feel you look it. You may not look after even this past week feel that you're even worthy of it, but you are very important and very special to Christ in God's economy. We've been made in his image, and he's caused us to do things that are supernatural. He's given us a supernatural destiny and a supernatural plan to fulfill that destiny. And you know, it's easy to forget it, especially when you're doing things during the week. No wonder why God says, have a Sabbath. Take a break. Let's do it God's way and see what he has for us on this whole day. We need to see here, friends, that there's a frame of time that we have in Christ that is toward the latter part of his days on earth. He only lived about 33 and a half years. That's just a young man. Anyone here about 33? Raise your hand. There's not a whole lot, but there are some. Yeah, okay. Joe, spirit of lying, we'll pray for you later. Just kidding. But his life, even at this point, was so full of things that were supernatural, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the villages and the cities of people that Jesus touched, and the word about Jesus was spreading all around during the most horrible time under the rulership of another government, Antichrist government, the Roman civilization, headed up, in a sense, by Satan himself. The disciples' early days with Jesus, you know, Jesus, we often see it over and over again in the Bible. Jesus did some weird and marvelous things. You could never put your finger on it, how he was going to take care of something, how he was going to do it for a miracle, what he was going to say to make the miracle take place. In fact, even where he was, it never fit. Why was this? Why are the things that Jesus, when you read about him, why were they so weird and wonderful? It's because he did not fit into the world system. He was looking at it from the Father's creative, the way God himself had planned this whole thing, and it wasn't matching up. So everything that they would see Jesus do, everything that they would hear Jesus say, it was weird, and it was wonderful at the end. And he hasn't changed. How many here know that Jesus still does some weird and wonderful things? You may be one of them. In fact, we all are, because we've all been created out of a mess and in sin. All of us have. No one's exempt. He made things and he did things that just didn't make sense. And that's what I love about Jesus, because if it was just another man doing, okay, he went and he fixed the donkey's hoof and he put, you know, just sort of like patched it up. Or he looked at a man and sort of like made an extension of an arm that sort of looked like his arm, or, you know, how wonderful, and put a patent on it and charge people. Get a life. Withered arms and hands were grown from nothing. And you see the bone and the skin and everything start taking it all the way down to the fingernails within a moment of time. And he didn't charge anything. Because he didn't fit in what man's understanding of things, how we should be doing things. You know, it did make sense when there was just this little lad who, on a mountainside where there was over 20,000 people that were gathered there, had 5 loaves and just a few fish, and Jesus takes it after he told his disciples to find something for these people to eat. Oh, really? Don't you know we're in the wilderness? How do you expect us to, well, would you find something? And the best that they could come up with was this little boy's lunch, and Jesus took that. It's weird. It would be like all of us right now, right after church, go over Tom and Christine's house, we're going to have lunch, and we expect the best. And when we're finished, we want to be full and satisfied with leftovers. Has it?
Yeah.
Hit the wrong people. Who else can I? You're just trying to get me back for not naming all the stars. Okay. It doesn't make sense, but he took the loaves and the fish and he lifted them up to the one who created the lot and said, Father, bless this. And it began to multiply supernaturally. And all of those people, friends, were fed. You see, God, it shows the love of God. Beyond the wildest dreams, God began to love his people in such a way. He demonstrated his love in the practical ways as well. I'm here to love you. You're hungry. Let me feed you. And when I feed you, you're going to be full. It's the best restaurant around. He did it. Weird, wonderful ways. And now his disciples, after walking with Jesus for most of the time that he was in ministry, all of a sudden, Jesus, you know, just for a short time, they're used to seeing Jesus do all of these things, all these weird and wonderful things. He says, I want you to do something for me now. What did he want them to do? Here's Jesus' plan for all of us. I send you out as sheep amongst wolves. Oh, our reaction to that one. My reaction used to be, how could God do something like that? He gets us saved, makes us the sheep of his pasture, and sends us out with the wolves. to the wolves, to be devastated, to be chewed up, to be a meal. Think about it for a minute. Remember King David, before he became king? What was he doing? He was shepherding his father's sheep. What happened with David when the lion came? The young boy, for 17 or even younger than that, tore the lion and stopped the lion, killed the lion. What about the bear when the bear came to destroy the sheep? He killed the bear. Had a sling as well. Very proficient young fella, very smart, but very strong, filled with God's wisdom, very smart fella. He was anointed. So when you think about this verse, I send you out as sheep amongst the wolves, who are you going to bet on? Can you answer that? Who are you going to bet on? I'm going to bet on the sheep because I've got one who's going to take care of me. In the midst of it all, no matter what life is going to throw at me, no matter what questions God's going to say, I want you to do this, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen, I am going to not bet. I'm going to place my trust in God because he's got a perfect record. And everything he has ever asked someone to do, he has always fulfilled it when that person obeyed. This morning we have in this little photograph of a small moment of time, he asks his men to go to find a donkey and its colt. And he says, I want you to bring them to me. Tell the person next to you, if Jesus says something to you, do it. Interact here. Just tell the person next to you, if Jesus asks you to do something, do it. I'll help you. If Jesus asks you to do something, say it. Don't look at your neighbor and say it. Look at your neighbor now and hear what I'm saying. Keep your face toward your neighbor. If Jesus asks you to do something, say it. Just do it. Let's try it again. If Jesus, look at your neighbor. If Jesus asks you to do something, just do it. You think you can remember that? Wait till the next time. Just do it. God is faithful. Jesus told his disciples, I have need of a donkey. The disciples, I was sort of like trying to camp around this verse and imagine what the disciples' reactions inside of their mind and their hearts were doing. But you know, I put in the equation of the whole thing the anointing of God and the faithfulness of God. And I can see these men almost saying, but, instead of saying almost, but, they began to rehearse all the miracles of the past. They began to hear the voice of Jesus asking the questions, will you do this? Will you do that? Questions that he asked other people, what can I do for you? What do you have need of? And all of the miracles began to transgress, and all the miracles began to come out of their spirit. It began to paint a picture for these men, these two disciples that Jesus says, would you go and find the donkey and its colt and bring them to me? You see, we're looking at this, friends. This is all prophetic, what's taking place. Not pathetic, prophetic, what's taking place. In Isaiah, it talks about the Jesus talking about Jesus coming into Israel, the woman, where God started to do things to bless the earth. Jesus now was about to enter into Jerusalem for the last time, last moment of time that he had on earth. How did he do it? Well, we could look at it and say it would be like me. If I had a need of a car for a wedding, I would go to David Wanson. because he has some nice cars, and I drove them. And I would rehearse and just say the same thing. David, I need a car for a wedding. Could I borrow your car? And I think he's nice enough to say, yeah. No problem. But, you know, with this whole scenario, you're talking about Jesus asking these men to bring, and I'm getting to points. Jesus asked his two disciples to go and get the donkey and the colt. He said, if there's any objection to it, just tell them the Lord has need of it. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we give the excuse, well, what do you want that for? And who do you think you are? Well, the Lord has need of it. We try that with banks sometimes. We try that with other things. We try that to manipulate other people. Well, the Lord has need of it. You know, we need bread to do things. Well, the Lord has need of it. We've got this going, and we need bread left over. If you realize that Jesus was asking these two disciples to go get something that were his, he created those things. You don't ride a new colt. It'll kick you off. It'll put up a fuss like you've never seen. He rode both of them. Not at the same time, but he rode both of them. He owned and created them. Don't you think that there was something inside the nature of his creation? You know, sometimes as people we think, well, man, I wouldn't react that way if I was that colt, but nevertheless, these two colts, they knew who was on them. And that one didn't kick. That little one didn't kick. He rode it in. Our problem is that we're always trying to figure out how God is going to do something. How many here are guilty of that? Always trying to find out how God is going to figure it out, how God is going to do this. Why don't you just have a Sabbath? An extra Sabbath during the week. Just sit down, stop what you're doing, and allow God just to do it. Don't help God. He didn't need help to create everything else. He certainly didn't need help to create you. And he doesn't need help to create something in your life or my life that he says he has need of you to do it. Praise God. You can trust God. Stop trying to figure out what God is, not what God is saying, but, you know, the meaning behind it and how it's going to fit in and this and that and how it's going to work out. God, if he asked you to do something, just do it. There's living proof standing in front of you. We didn't know where we were going. We landed in Sydney by faith. And realized that we were in another country when the bus at the front was on the opposite side of the road. We're here with our little daughter, Aubrey. Son came after a couple of years. Let's pretend. And I've shared this illustration once before. Let's pretend that you were the person who owned that colt. And that donkey. And you have two guys come up and ask you. I noticed you have a donkey and its colt just tied up next to your house there. Do you mind? You know, I just noticed that you've got, a brand new BMW in your driveway. Would you mind? I have to use it for God's work. He just sent me. Would you let me do it?
Go for it, mate.
Would you?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'll remember that.
Yes. Please do.
Right. I just say, our natural reaction is, yes. Or, and especially if you don't know someone. That was the other thing I should have put in that equation. No. First thing is, no. Even if it's that, God sent me to this place, because there's a lot of weirdos today, a lot of flakes floating around today too. But you would know if God said, if he sent somebody, and there was the anointing of God when they opened their mouth to say, God has need of this car, would you mind? I need to use it, bring it back for his work. what would your reaction be? I have to leave that one with you. Because today God is asking you, he has need of you. Do you know him enough to trust him? See how it works? There's nothing wrong with having a question at the beginning. There's nothing wrong with that because that's our it's part of our fallen nature, because we, outside of the fallen nature, we'd automatically trust God with whatever he said Jesus did. In spite of all the opposition, and when it looked completely opposite of what Jesus was facing, when God showed him something and said something, he did it without a flicker, because he had that relationship with his dad. And God wants us to get to that point of having a relationship with our dad. And Jesus, he came as our big brother to show us how to do it. Don't look at Jesus and the things that Jesus did and said and say he only did it because God sent him. He was Almighty God wrapped up in flesh as a man. Because what did Jesus say about us? The kingdom of God is in you. Ben was mentioning that this morning. The kingdom of God is within you. So God is in us. Emmanuel, God with us. There's nothing impossible with us. But to have a relationship with God in such a way, and if you don't have one that's that strong, you can increase it even today by listening to what the Word of God is saying, going home and reading the passage again, going back and during this week start to just read however much you can of God's Word and begin to build a relationship, because the Word is God. And if you read the Word, you're building a relationship because you know more about God. And when then God begins to ask you to do something, God begins to show you that I have a need for this, you're not going to question and say, well, I really got to think about this. You might for a split second, but then you realize, just like all of these two disciples that were there, all the things that God did in his word that you read about, the signs and wonders and miracles, God's faithfulness, you can trust him with your very life, will start to come out of you, and the decision that you have to make, you'll make. And it'll be the right decision. Praise God. Back to the story of this young colt. No one had ever ridden it. It had zero Ks. That's a nice car. When you buy something with no Ks on it, or maybe two or three Ks on it, because they had to drive it off the truck, maybe around the block, and sit it on the lot or sit it inside, you know, the place, the shop where they sell those things. The Lord has need of it. The owner said, they said to the owner, the Lord has need of it. The owner probably might have thought, well, I have a need for it too. It's mine. Have you ever done that? You know beyond the shadow of a doubt that, you know, someone has said something and God was speaking through them, or the Lord said something to you personally and said, I need this, or I need you to give that, or I need you to do this. And for a moment you say, yeah, but it's mine. It's mine. You have a right to say that. And that's your right. Jesus also had a right to say, Father, I have a will. But what did he end up saying because of his relationship? Not my will. See, he had a right, and so do you. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Why? Because there's a supremacy in the things that God puts on and in front of us. There's a supremacy over the way the world is going. This world is passing away, and everything in it, including wrong relationships, including things that we put trust in, it's all going to pass away. But what is going to last? The Word of God. And if the Word of God has asked you to do something, what you're going to be doing, if you listen to God and obey him, you are doing an eternal thing that will never ever perish, not only from this earth, last longer than this earth, but will last throughout eternity. It has ramifications that go on throughout all eternity, over and over and over again. No wonder why the angels are shouting, holy, 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 for what What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What do they know about God? His greatness, His great faithfulness, His never-changing word. There's no changing with God. All ties in with a little glimpse on one day and a moment in Jesus' life. He needed something. That little colt and its mom were very important to Jesus. Why? Because what were they there for? What was happening with Jesus? Why he needed them? Prophecy. God's word that was given centuries before, God's word was about to be fulfilled. And his son was going to ride on those two objects, on those two living objects that he created. Imagine what is your thinking about some of the stuff that maybe God has asked you. Do you look down your nose sometimes at it and say it's insignificant compared to other people that are doing marvelous things for God, these evangelists and these other Christian people, these missionaries? Friends, don't ever, ever think that what God has asked you to do, even if it's done in a closet and no one else has seen it except you, that it's not important to God. Who knows the times that you spent in prayer when you got up by yourself with all the weight of the world on your shoulders and no one else saw you get up, no one else heard your voice, no one else heard you sing, no one else could give a, pardon my expression, a stuff about you, even if they found out. But God was there in your quiet time, and he was pleased with you. God is pleased with me. God is pleased, Sue Ellen, when you get up at those early morning hours and you go for your walk and spend that time with God. Because who knows? Only God knows that it's during that time that there's a collective shield that God begins to place around you with his angels. My child is there. My child is worshiping me. My child is building a relationship with me, and my son or my daughter is there in my face. You know, there's a difference, and my life has changed in a way. My life has changed from always wanting to grab on to my daddy's hand for something. I can see it in my son. I can see it in my daughter and my son-in-law. And I only say this to bless the word of the Lord this morning, is that they've grown to a point that when they do come to daddy, well, they do come for things. But they come to mom and dad just to catch our face for that relationship, just acknowledge. And you don't know, they may not know or they may know, you don't know what that does. You don't know what that does inside. Because I did that with my dad. Now my dad's gone to be with the Lord. But I've got the memories of that, what it did for my dad, the feeling that he had. You can sense it. I could smell it a mile away. Because his son was there. His daughter, his girl was there. My sister was there. My other brother was there. We came to see dad's face, mom's face, not just to get $5 or $20 off, not just to do that. Those things happen. But to go to God and face to face with our Savior. God, I want to worship you today. God, I want you to know that I'm going to trust no matter what is going on, I'm going to trust you with my business. I'm going to trust you with my walk with you. I'm going to trust you. I don't have a job, but you're going to give it to me. I'm going to trust you that, like Peter said this morning, he got a truck license. He didn't have one before. The timing of him to get that, you don't probably know a story. I do. Most of us don't. Some may. You don't know the timing that was involved in that, for that to happen in his life. God is faithful. God is faithful. Praise his name. He needs you today. In fact, he has a way of saying it like it really is. Let's take a look, if we could, at John chapter 6, verse 33 through 34. Or is it Matthew? I'm sorry. Did I give you Matthew? I'm sorry. You can slap my hand later. Putting this lady on the spot, man. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless her. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness or his righteous ways. And all these things shall be added to you. You see, we worry about things all the time. It's just part of our fallen nature. We're consistently worried or we're wondering how or why, when it's going to happen, how it's going to be done. And then if we're not really sure that God can help us, we'll help him. It doesn't happen that way, friends. We come to the limitation. It says, therefore, do not worry. I love this. This is great counsel from a wonderful counselor. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will only worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Has anyone here ever done anything about your tomorrow? I'd like to see you after the service. I think all of us would. You can't do a cotton picking thing about your tomorrow. But God says that there'll be sufficient worry there if you want to worry and things to worry about. But he says, I'll be there with you because this is the day that the Lord has made. We say it all the time. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sufficient. Don't worry about things. You cannot change your past. If you keep on looking in your rearview mirror, you're going to get into an accident. If you keep on looking at your past, you're going to miss your present and run out of fuel to get to your future. Just trust that God says, I have plans for you. They're good and they're filled with great things to give you a future and a hope, a destiny. That's what we're all looking for. I'm looking for hope for tomorrow. I'm looking to get to a future of things that God has for me to fulfill tomorrow. Don't look at dying. Look at life. God says there's death and there's life before you. And if you're not smart enough, he says, choose life. Choose life. Praise God. You know, in our Western culture, most of us, I have to say this, you know, with respect to all of us, including myself, most of us, most times, we're not ready for this kind of discipleship, even with these two disciples in this story this morning. We're not ready for it. Because we got too much on our plate. And Western society gives us too much. Why do you think it is that people in third world countries receive more miracles and things take place where the dead are raised? Limbs do grow. Diseases, AIDS, cancer, we don't hear about it. But friends, just take a look around the world. Get on your YouTube and find out what's going on. These things actually happen. They happen most of the time in third world countries because they don't have all the stuff thrown at them that we've got. It's a blanket that Satan has put over our eyes. No wonder why we have to, if you spend time with God, you'll get out of that bubble of that humanistic thinking, that materialistic thinking, and you, when you get in God's presence, I tell you what, friends, you will leave whatever place, if you're kneeling down in a closet, if you're up in the morning, early morning hours, if you're walking, driving, don't close your eyes when you're driving and praying. Okay? Did y'all catch that? Amen. Otherwise, we'll have to come and pick you up. But just know that God's going to do something when you're there. He will hear you. And you'll get out of that materialistic bubble. And the influence of all these things. You know, we're looking for signs, wonders, and miracles. There are people that need healing today. Just over at the Dax Church, there's families that need healing. In this church, there's people that need healing. People here that need miracles. People here that have businesses that need, you know, God to intervene in certain things that maybe are not there today, but they will come tomorrow. Not to make them a mess, but to make them the best. So that other people will see that God's in on what they're doing because he's asked them to do it and he's showing them how to do it. Your life is like the colt this morning. That little colt and the mama that was with it. God needs you. Tom, Christine, God needs you. I don't mean to put people on the spot. David, God needs you and your family. All of us, God needs you. And God needs me. We're precious in His sight. And our calling is not all about the ease of the things that God asks us to do. Because some things, they're going to be tough. When God asks you to do something, some of those things are going to be tough. They're going to be pretty difficult. And it's going to take a choice of choices. And it's got to be a godly choice versus a wrong choice that's going to put you over the hurdle. Amen? So just as these men who were obedient, they looked at God, they began to remember all the things. God helped them to make a right decision. They went out and got that donkey. They fulfilled prophecy. They fulfilled the word of God. Don't you think in these last days when God asks us to do something, it may not necessarily be in the book that, "Thus saith the Lord, go get Sue Ellen a donkey. Or go get a little colt for Pastor Chuck to ride to church." Or what I should have said is get a little colt for Tom Collins to ride to church. That would be funny.
That would be a miracle.
We don't know what they are, but they're important things. And you know, and it's God has everything written out. So all in the book of life, they're not only the deeds that we've done, but the deeds were connected up to the things God said, this is what I've got for these guys to do. This is what I got for this person to do. And they're all written out. So as we listen to the word of God, we're obedient to fulfill the word of God. We have the relationship to trust, I'm going to do it. Even if it looks like a risk, even if you look like a dumb donkey in front of people, when you do it, they're going to see the miracle in your life take place, and they'll be drawn to Christ. And you'll be fulfilling the things that God had planned over your life. No wonder why, you know, it's just one thing to hear God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Well, you know that the plan and purpose is all the things that God wrote about your life. It says that in Psalm 139. He knows all your days. He knows all my days. He knows all my parts. They've all been sanctified for His good works. No wonder why in Ephesians 2:10 it says that we are Christ's workmanship, God's workmanship in Christ, to do good deeds. Not the world's deeds, but God's deeds. Good God deeds. God deeds by faith. Amen. Anyone encouraged this morning? I want to have a few people who are here this morning. Who here has a business? Okay. I want you people to just come over on this side over here. And I would like a few of the congregation, I'm not going to ask any particular person, but I'm going to ask a few people to come up, and I want you to lay hands. And while they're praying for these individuals, I want us to have some body ministry going. I don't want you to just sit there, but I want you to extend your hands forward. Because these people have taken a risk in a day in which it's not easy to take a risk, is it? So if I could have maybe 2, 3, 4 people come up, you know, there could be 1 or 2 people praying, but the rest of us all agreeing. Can I have a few people come on up? And if you could lay hands on these people. Wow, look at the mad rush here. I'm just kidding. You can stand in front of them if you would, and we're just going to agree with you guys. Yep. Whoever's going to pray, I just want you to go, and once we're ready, just go ahead and lay hands on these people and just begin to pray, and we'll agree. The rest of us, you just put our hands forward and begin to agree. I'm not going to pray, by the way, so this is body ministry. I want our congregation I'm just getting out of the sun, sorry, to pray. Thank you, Lord. You can let it rip, too. You don't have to be quiet if you don't want to. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Jesus. Multiply for them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Take us in the end of this. Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, eh? Expect miracles. Expect anointing on what you're doing. God's anointing to destroy. It's already destroyed. Destroy the yoke. Wherever you place your feet, things will prosper. Whatever you touch, God says it will prosper. Amen. We'll close with a song, and let's all stand up and worship the Lord as we vacate. And don't forget the trivia night. Just because we're having a trivia night doesn't mean that, you know, you should stay home. Help us. It's going to be fun. And we will have a couple of gifts, I promise you. I'll go out and get something.